From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Benicia.
Sunset District.
I live in Lakeside.
Western Addition.
Diamond Heights.
Emeryville, California.
Westwood Park.
Coming up, we'll examine a bold new proposition to protect the Bay from sea level rise.
9 counties are coming together to vote for a regional solution to what really is a global problem.
Then, connecting to the natural world through Polynesian dance.
The energy of the wind, the sound of the water, the look of the trees as they're moving.
And a dance from Spain finds a home in East Oakland.
It's very much like the blues here. It came from poor people. It didn't just happen in big theaters.
Art of the people on the show of the people. It's Cross Currents. Sea level rise is a global problem, but its impact is very local. So, whose responsibility is it to fight rising waters around the Bay? Well, for the first time ever, there's a regional response on the table, a tax on the whole Bay Area to fight the effects of climate change. If it's passed, Measure AA would collect $12 a year from property owners in all 9 Bay Area counties. Over the course of 20 years, the tax would raise $500 million. That money would go toward restoring wetlands along the San Francisco Bay and protecting local communities from sea level rise. KALW's Audrey Dilling explains.
Less than half a mile west of the roaring traffic of 880 in Oakland, it sounds like this. This is bay water lapping up against the muddy bank of a small inlet that's tucked between Alameda and the Oakland Airport.
A lot of people in the Bay Area don't even know that this little spot even exists.
Cyril Manning is communications director for Save the Bay, one of dozens of local environmental organizations in favor of Measure AA.
Tidal marsh wetlands are the natural defenses of the San Francisco Bay, and those are the pieces of our environment that can adapt. And we all know that climate change is bringing real significant changes to the Bay Area.
Scientists are projecting that the Bay's water level could rise as much as 5 feet by the end of this century.
That would threaten our infrastructure, it would threaten our roads, it would threaten major businesses that are built at sea level.
So Manning says vote yes on AA.
Protecting the place where both people and wildlife come together is just such an obvious, easy choice to make when the cost is $12 a year.
But some people see the tax as unfair.
A one-bedroom condominium in Antioch would pay the same tax as a downtown San Francisco high-rise.
Wendy Lack is with the Contra Costa County Taxpayers Association. I met her at a waterfront park along the Bay shoreline in the city of Martinez. Lack doesn't see why folks up here should have to chip in for other people's problems.
I'm wondering why 8 Bay Area counties should fund Santa Clara County's flood protection needs. That just doesn't seem fair.
Santa Clara County is home to the largest wetland restoration project on the West Coast, where 15,000 acres of industrial salt ponds are being turned back into wildlife habitat. Measure AA funds could go to support this, but the money will also be spread around all 9 counties by the San Francisco Bay Restoration Authority. That's a regional agency created in 2008 without a designated funding source. Measure AA is the agency's first attempt to generate money. And Wendy Lack says it won't be the last.
This $500 million tax over 20 years proposed by Measure AA is just the beginning of the spending.
And on that, she and Save the Bay's Cyril Manning agree.
So $500 million, it's not going to be nearly enough. We're ultimately are going to need well over $1 billion to complete all of the projects that need to be completed.
Measure AA needs a yes vote from 2/3 of Bay Area voters to pass. And if it does, it'll be a first.
This kind of funding mechanism is completely unprecedented. For one thing, the fact that 9 counties are coming together to vote for a regional solution to what really is a global problem and is going to affect us all is something nobody has ever tried before.
For Cross Currents, I'm Audrey Dilling.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The ocean plays a major role in many cultures. For the people of Polynesia, it's a natural force that's shaped dance and music for centuries. Berkeley-based dancer Maheya Uchiyama grew up in the Hawaiian hula tradition in her hometown of Washington, D.C. And her love for the practice later took her to places like Hawaii, New Zealand, and Tahiti, where she studied dance and immersed herself in local culture. She's the founder and director of the Maheya Uchiyama Center for International Dance in Berkeley and is currently president of the board of World Arts West, which puts on the annual extravaganza that is the San Francisco Ethnic Dance Festival. Maheya Uchiyama spoke to KALW's Jen Chien.
Maheya, when did you first get involved with Polynesian dance?
I first got involved with Polynesian dance when I was an adolescent, actually. I was 12, I think, when I first became very interested in and enchanted by the world of hula, the way of interpreting our world through movement and song.
And how did that happen? How did you come across hula?
At that time, I was very much interested in dance in general. My mom got me involved in ballet lessons when I was just a toddler. But being that this was 50 years ago, there was basically a ceiling on my involvement with ballet. Because I'm very dark-skinned, I'm very tall, and I'm not tiny, it became clear to me that if I wanted to keep dancing, and I did want to keep dancing, I would need to find something that would be more accepting of who I was. But what I was able to find, and I felt a lot of resonance towards, was hula. There was a lot of expatriate Hawaiian people living in Washington, D.C. because of the government work there.
I want to ask you a question about your identity and about your history with dance. You now lead a Polynesian dance company. You're an American woman. You're of mostly African descent. And you're also a priestess in Ifa, the religion of the Yoruba people. So can you just talk to me about how all of these different cultural layers exist in your life and how you kind of think about yourself in that?
The era that I grew up in, I'm old enough to remember a lot of the last vestiges of Jim Crow. I remember having to sit in the back of the bus as a really, really young child. I remember the dynamic of not being able to try clothes on in department stores. I remember the separate drinking fountains. The dynamic of wanting to find something to bring a sense of place and a sense of worth really started there, because it was clear that at that time the society in general did not place much value on my community and people who looked like me. Dance did help fill in a lot of that void. The deeper I got involved with hula and the spiritual aspects of the dance, it did answer a lot of questions, a lot of needs of a young woman in terms of understanding one's place in nature, understanding the interconnection between people. I mean, ultimately, this is a worldview and a mindset that is commonly expressed in many earth-based spiritual practices, which then, of course, led to my ability to recognize the extreme power and value of Ifa. Though I will always consider myself a student of hula, having a connection to a sense of African spirituality, especially as it was cut off from so many of our ancestors, was extremely important for me to do. A very important part of who I am and how I make sense of the world that we're in such a way that I feel secure and that I can bring that sense of connection to my community, to my students especially. I find there's a lot of commonality in worldview and understanding our place in the world between the spirituality of hula and the spirituality of the African traditions.
Could you tell me some of those connections that you're speaking about between hula and Polynesian spirituality and African spirituality?
There is a sense of belonging to nature as opposed to having the right to control nature, that we are connected to nature at a cellular level, the sense of caretaking, the sense of working with natural forces, natural energies, is something that is a very unique to both ways of viewing the world.
And how does that manifest physically in hula or in other forms of Polynesian dance in the body?
The hula is a tradition that evolved from meditation on natural forces, being very much connected to and a part of nature, feeling the energy of the wind as it plays with leaves in the trees, watching and appreciating the motion of the water as it comes to the shore, being able to allow oneself to be comforted by the in and out flow of the surf. This is how the hula evolved, was from deep communication with an understanding of these natural forces, and in essence trying to place it within us so that as an act of communication, connection, when we create our regalia that we wear out of natural materials, when we place the foliage representing the deity of hula, whose natural manifestation is the leaves and the trees and the grasses around our body, when we have rehearsed our songs and our dances to the point where we don't have to think about sequencing them anymore and they just become part of us, then those natural forces are us. We are nature and we are speaking directly as a part of that. And this is how in performance we become almost entranced in a way when everything is moving in the way it should. And we can bring other people to that portal of the divine, where the divine connects with our everyday life.
I'm speaking with Maheya Uchiyama, Kumu Hula, and board president at World Arts West, which presents the San Francisco Ethnic Dance Festival. More than 20 years ago now, you founded the Maheya Uchiyama Center for International Dance, which is a place where you teach. I'm wondering, what were you kind of dreaming about when you founded this space?
Dance was such an important thing to me. It really did keep me sane in a world that was not sane. It gave me a sense of purpose and direction. And I wanted to create a place where everyone would feel comfortable to follow their heart. So it wouldn't matter if you matched the ethnic group of something that spoke to you. I wanted people to be able to feel comfortable to explore whatever their heart was opening to.
I want to ask you about the Ethnic Dance Festival. Can you just briefly describe what the Ethnic Dance Festival is?
So the Ethnic Dance Festival started off as a way to bring various culturally specific world forms together for people to enjoy a variety of dances that they may not have otherwise had the chance to see in one
all
performance.
All in one place.
All in one place. It's an amazing collection of extremely high-powered, high-quality dance and music. And what is, I think, the most amazing thing is the fact that for the variety and for the quality, all of the performers are based here in Northern California.
It seems like what you're talking about, this sense of community and drawing together and different cultures, different kinds of people coming together, is very similar to your aim in your dance center, the Maheya Uchiyama Center for International Dance.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately what we as a people, and I mean like a human people, need to get is that we're in this together. And yes, it is very good. It's extremely important to understand our own cultural and ethnic heritage. It is equally important to respect that of others. And I do believe this is the continuum between the two organizations, is a way to understand and respect and to bring together, so that, you know, involvement in one doesn't necessarily mean exclusion of another. It just means that you're deeply involved, as we all should be, to the extent that we can be, in our own ethnic beauty. And let's celebrate that of others too.
That was Kumuhula Mahea Uchiyama speaking with KLW's Jen Chien. You can catch Halau Kaua Tuahini in concert this Saturday evening at the Oakland Asian Cultural Center. The San Francisco Ethnic Dance Festival starts June 3rd and runs through June 19th. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The Bay Area is one of the country's most active centers for ethnic and traditional dance. In addition to Polynesian dance, there are robust communities for African, Caribbean, Indian, Mexican, Chinese, Filipino dance, to name a few. Now we're going to meet a master flamenco teacher who's been using her home studio in East Oakland to teach students the dance and the celebration of her culture. Reporter Sabah Williams brings us there.
It's a quiet evening on an Oakland street, quiet enough to hear the muffled sounds of dancers studying their flamenco footwork. Inside the dance studio, about 10 women in long skirts are standing in line behind their teacher, a Latina woman with a strong, commanding presence. She sings throughout her class and calls out guidance to her students as she keeps the rhythm with her hands and feet. The dancers move in unison. They are powerful, and the sounds of their footwork take on the quality of a drum. The master flamenca instructor teaching this class is Yalisa.
My name is Yalisa, and I'm a flamenco artist, producer, choreographer, and aficionada of flamenco.
Yalisa has been dancing flamenco most of her life. Her mother passed the art form down to her. Yalisa now directs Caminos Flamencos, a Bay Area dance company and nonprofit that presents live performances and offers classes for all, from beginners to professional dancers. Yalisa says she's committed to preserving the legacy of flamenco and bringing it to people of all backgrounds.
It's not just dance. You have to study music, the music, the culture. You have to study the singing. It's a fully rounded art form.
There are four distinct parts of flamenco, and they're equally important: singing, dance, guitar, and jaleo, the spontaneous hand clapping and cries of encouragement that audiences and fellow artists give to each other. Flamenco originates from the mix of cultures in southern Spain, an area known as Andalusia. There are cultural influences from the Roma people, also known as gypsies, as well as Jewish, Spanish, and North African flavors.
It's born of the people. It came from poverty and repression and suppression. It's very much like the blues here. It came from poor people. It didn't just happen in big theaters, and that came later. So it's an art of the people, and it should be considered that. Even though it has fancy costumes and lighting and theaters, and it did not come from that at all.
There's another important element of flamenco. It's something that's both ever-present and shrouded in mystery. That's the concept of duende. It has many shades of meaning. Sometimes it's translated as having soul, but mainly it's the expression of an emotion the dancer or singer is projecting. For Yalisa, it's central to the dance.
For me, it's like a cry of either joy or pain or sorrow or anguish or, joie de vivre. It's a cry for every emotion you can think of, every feeling that a human can have.
Duende is the soul, the spirit, that it's deep within. And you're really dancing when you feel it. It's not always there, but when it happens, you can feel it.
That's Teddy Milder, a local sculptor. She's been dancing all of her life and studying flamenco with Yalisa for 6 years. She says that flamenco is one of the hardest dances she's ever studied.
Your feet are doing one thing, your hands are doing one thing. You have to interact with the musicians and with the singer.
So it's very complex, and it's also very deep, but you have to really call within yourself to dance.
That multifaceted expression is what makes flamenco such an appealing dance for students like Mo Awobo.
I have this saying, las mujeres dicen con los pies el que no se puede decir con la boca. The women say with their feet what they cannot say with their mouth. And I feel like flamenco is where, especially Spanish women with a lot of the patriarchal repression, get to just let it all out and say what they feel. And I feel like it has a lot in common with the African diaspora. Like, as a black woman, I feel that duende, that anger that they have.
Awobo says she can connect to that anger in a specific flamenco movement.
One of my favorite gestures is the hand flip, because it kind of reminds me of when my mother would get mad at somebody and look like she's going to slap them. And it starts with your hand facing inward toward your forehead, and it flips really quickly so that it comes up by the side of your hand and your palm faces out, and it just looks like, I know you didn't just say that. It's such a womanly, angry gesture, and I love it.
Awobo is a local designer and belly dance instructor at her own company, Opera Scura. She says the changing social dynamics of Oakland are also being felt in the dance community.
We're already kind of losing here in the Bay Area all of the really amazing folk arts and the homegrown feeling, and so we need to keep everything we can get. We need to keep it all here and not let it get sold out, and to keep people interested so that places like this can survive.
Yalisa, too, is worried about the survival of the arts community here in Oakland, where she's made her home.
I love Oakland so much. You know, the arts community is important here. It gets short shrift here. It needs more coverage. We need just so much more here.
Yalisa and Caminos Flamencos aren't just working to keep the tradition of flamenco alive. They're also contributing to Oakland's thriving art scene by encouraging students of all ages to engage in the culture and the spirit of an indigenous art form. But Yalisa says there's more work to be done.
I feel it's really important for the arts to be not only covered here, but understood, supported, preserved. It's really important. It's not just flamenco.
Dancers here in Oakland are proud to be part of such a strong arts community. It is their hope that more is done to highlight and support the work that they're doing. In East Oakland, I'm Sabah Williams for Cross Currents.
That story was created for our live show, The Sights and Sounds of East Oakland, a partnership with the Oakland Voices Fellowship. You can listen to more stories from East Oakland at our website, kalw.org, and tell us where you want us to come and report from next. Give a shout out to your town or neighborhood. Email us at news@kalw.org, and we will be on it. Our team includes Luisa Cardosa, Lila Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Stephen Short, Audrey Dilling, and Eli Wertschafter. Today's show was engineered by James Rollins, and the line producer was Liza Veal. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.
I love you, John. This
harp music is by Deborah Henson Conant, one of the participants in this week's International Harp Festival in Danville. The festival is this Saturday, starting at 7:30 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hena Baba.
Near or far, I love you just the way you are. I love you night, I love you day. And I love everything you say. You're never too verbose for me. Darling, darling, can't you see the near or far? I love you just the way you are.
way you are. And if you change,